I'd like to call to order a meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. This is a special call meeting of the Board of Education as we begin our budgetary process. Ms. Marshall, that's why we kind of delayed, is on her way. She will be here very shortly. Before we start, let me take a moment on behalf of the Board of Education to thank, congratulate, and whatever spectacular word I could come up with, all of our staff and teachers and administrators who work making every day a brighter day for all of our students. This is Teacher Appreciation Week, and I don't know what we can do to exemplify the great effort that our teaching staff puts forth. They make us proud every day of the year, and so our thanks and appreciation go out to each and every one of them. Every week is Teacher Appreciation Week in the Oak Ridge Schools, but this particular week is designated as such. I thank Council Members Vogel, Dotson, Hope, and Callison for being here tonight, and I see the City Manager is coming in as well. Thank you for being here. I've been informed as soon as this meeting is over, you will each be sent a copy of the budget that the superintendent will be presenting tonight, so you can look forward to some special reading in the next few days, if you would like. But thank you very much. We appreciate the relationship and working relationship we have with council, and thank you for being here. Just briefly, and we'll talk a little bit more about this at the end. We're scheduled to have a 5:30 work session Thursday. On Monday, we're scheduled to have a 5:30 work session, and at that particular work session, we will go line by line over the expenditure items in the budget. Wednesday of next week at 5:30 will be a public hearing and first reading. And then on the 21st is our regular scheduled board meeting and will be adoption of the budget at that time. So with that being said, we do have an agenda. So I would ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Stevens, seconded by Ms. McClain, and Council Woman Smith is coming in. Thank you for being here as well. All in favor of approving the agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. One item tonight for discussion and presentation, and this is where we begin our in-depth look at the Oak Ridge Schools budget for the coming fiscal year. And we'll have many questions along the way. We hope, as I said, to be finished and adopt the budget on the 21st of this month. So, without any further comments, I was trying to stretch that out a little bit, but she'll be in momentarily, I'm sure. And so, Dr. Borchers, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. We've got quite a few slides, but we'll get through those as quick as possible. Myself, Ms. Pat Smith, will be presenting this evening. We're going to talk a little bit about some celebrations at the very beginning and then get right back into the budget and update the board on where we're at and what we're proposing at this point. I throw this slide up there. I've used it before, but there are so many data points that come at us, and we kind of need to know where we're going as a district. And just like this cockpit, you know, we have key performance indicators that we use on a daily basis. And as a reminder for our community, first and foremost, our keys to college and career readiness that we've been now working hard at for a little over 4 years on this endeavor. Oak Ridge 2020, again, with KPIs behind all of this information, constantly monitoring those scorecards and setting our goals for Oak Ridge 2020. And part of that process, 4 or 5 years ago, we set forth to be one of the best STEM districts in the state. And I think we've had a nice recognition from Advanced Ed being STEM certified, first in Tennessee, second in the world. Doesn't mean we're happy with that or we're done. We keep continuing to look at new ways to get better, but I think it's an example of setting your goals for something, and our folks have done it. And as you said, Mr. Philhour, our teachers are the main reason this happened for our district. We've had an addition of our JROTC, which we continue to talk about, which is a wonderful organization, and they're having a great year. Took first place at one of the events this spring, and in their first year, that's a great accomplishment. We recently had some special education staff. We had a literacy celebration that you can see here. They graduated on May 4th, receiving training in literacy. Again, really, when we say all, we mean all, as I look at Dr. Hibbard over there. But congratulations to those folks. A big shout out to our arts, and I see Mr. Dotson out there, and we're cranking up the Da Vinci piece at this point. I know a lot of our schools are excited about that competition. Continue to do things, and recently we were at a TCAT event, but just wonderful things that I think make our district very well-rounded for very numerous students. Next year we will be 312 Access Oak Ridge. That's hard to believe that over the last 4 years we have been able to do that, and I think we've done it exceptionally well with putting devices in students' hands. Again, next year grades 3 through 12. We continue to have professional development on project-based learning, and that's embedded at all of our levels and every building that we have. And one a main reason that I think we were successful in our advanced ed STEM certification is the thing that they were seeing in our school buildings on a daily basis. Again, Todd Livesey would probably, he hates us talking about this, but I think this is an amazing piece of SACT agreement with NASA and our CubeSat project that's still going strong. We did this last year, we did it again this year, just another testament to some of how bright our kids are, and I hope this initial phase of this presentation shows everyone just how well-rounded the Oak Ridge schools are. We set some goals back when Key 7 in the 7 Keys to College Readiness were rolled out, and you can see the growth and the opportunities for students that have happened for them over the last few years. There you have from 13 to 17, the increase in dual enrollment for our students. And when I look at that, I see kids winning and having those opportunities that we weren't looking at too. Various industry certifications, again, a part of our Key 7 that I'm very proud of, and our staff continue to do an amazing job on a daily basis. Some things coming forward. We have cybersecurity starting next year. I don't think it takes you much to look in the news today that we know that this field will be a growing field, and it's hard for them to find skilled workforce at this point. So we believe by starting this program, we can have one of the best cybersecurity programs in the state of Tennessee. Thankfully, with the partnership with the council, we're getting very close to our new preschool building. We've had a lot of communication, a lot of conversations. I think Jacine will be visiting us here in a couple of weeks for the board to kind of give the nod and say, yes, move forward. I know the city will be doing that next week, and we're very happy of where we're at this point. I'm going to turn it over to Pat for a few slides here. Now we're going to get into some of the numbers and some of the recommendations that we're going to have for the board to consider here over the next couple of weeks. Pat?
Okay, we started out with a brief overview of the financial assumptions on the proposed budget for FY19. It's based on the major revenue and expenditure assumptions.
You might, Pat, excuse me, pull that microphone just a little bit closer right there.
Based on the major revenue and expenditure assumptions, the FY19 budget can be balanced using $1,169,447 from fund balance. The proposed budget includes a step increase for those that are eligible, a 1.5% salary adjustment, and additional staffing based upon the district needs and initiatives. The major revenue assumptions, the projected sales and property tax estimates are based on the FY18 actual collections and the prior estimates on receivables for previous years. BEP funding is based on the April 2018 estimate we received from the state. It was a $615,000 increase over our current year, a 2.88% increase. City allocation is based on the FY18 funding level, and again, planning to use the fund balance of just under $1.17 million. Again, continuing with the major expenditure sum assumptions, the salaries include an experienced staff and the 1.5% adjustment. Supplies and services are based on the FY18 budget with some minimal increases based on needs. We're also introducing a substitute pay incentive to award staff that work frequently and encourage others to accept hard-to-fill positions. The health insurance is going to remain the same with a 3% increase beginning in calendar year FY19. No increase for dental and vision insurance. And a large factor is a mandatory 1.38% increase in licensed staff retirement rate that went from 9.08% to 10.46%, a cost of $369,000. Again, it also includes staffing additions and reductions to support the district goals and initiatives. Increased general fund support for preschool staffing. It was previously funded through federal grants. Increases to cover high priority needs, including textbook adoption and purchase, and also the ESCO agreement with the city, our first of 15 annual payments. The next slide is just an overview of what a salary increase cost the district, ranging from 1% up to 3%. As you'll see, what we are recommending is the 1.5% at a cost of $621,138, and that is basically equivalent of what the BEP increase is projected to be. Our next slide is the position changes for FY19.
Okay, so I'll take this slide and the next for sure. Probably these next two slides are the slides that I think the board will have to have the most discussion probably over and thinking over the next couple of weeks here. But proposing right now some reductions. You'll see the reductions there. Administrative assistant, that was something that was done through the change through the business department reorganization. The board approved that earlier this year. A 0.5 reduction, and that reduction would be through attrition at Oak Ridge High School. Speech and language clinician at the preschool, and elementary teacher 1.0, and that's only due to enrollment, just because what's happening at that particular building. The additions that would be recommended are a 0.54 currently. We have a half-time secretary for CTE and communications, and we feel if we made that full-time, there are some benefits to both of those departments if we can have someone in that chair full-time. As we know, Ms. Cross isn't always sitting in that chair waiting for communications to happen. She has a CTE role as well, so part of that justification. A couple of dean positions at Jefferson and Middle School and Robertsville Middle School. We'll get into that in a little bit. I'll show you a little bit of data coming up here. Excuse me. And the 0.25 mechanic would be an addition to Mr. Patrick Ledoux, our auto teacher. He would be able to service our vehicles that we may be in the past been putting some of that work out. He could do some of that work himself. Also, it would give him a few more hours and some incentive to stay with us here in the Oak Ridge schools. And then some additions at Glenwood, Linden, and Woodland, making some 0.5 people right now a full-time person, which would make some for some equitability across the district and other schools. And to see that a little more clearly then, as we talk about investments in the districts for next year, you see there the experience step alone is 377, and then with the 1.5%, that brings you to about $1 million. And then the new and reallocated, and please pay attention to the reallocated in red. Again, you're seeing the dean, the mechanic, the secretary, and the special education teachers. And those positions in red are really, as we've gone through this shift from title to general fund at the preschool level, those positions in the red, help me, Pat, if I'm not saying that correctly, but those are positions and things that the general fund is picking up going forward because of the disbursement of title. So with that, you're looking at grand total investments of about $1.5 million going forward. Part of the information and discussion we thought that it might not occur tonight, but I'm sure it will as we get closer to making some decisions. This is in regard to class size information. So I know as we look at that 0.5 reduction, we thought it'd be helpful for the board to see a real high level look at class sizes for our middle schools and our high schools. So this is Jefferson. You'll see grades 5 through 8. And FTE is full-time equivalent or one teacher. And you'll see the averages there, 20, 25, 23, 2, 21.63. And here's Robertsville. I won't read all those to you, but it will give you a sense of where they're at. And then you have the high school with the averages that they have. So there is a lot more data behind and some reasoning and justification for that 0.5, but I thought that would be helpful in this presentation. The dean information, and I know the board, you've learned somewhat about what this position would do, and we'll talk about that at the time that it's appropriate. But in this slide, it talks about the teacher to administrator ratio with teacher evaluations, and you can see Jefferson and Robertsville as compared to our high school counterparts. And then this is some information from around the area, immediate area of administrator to students. So you'll look at Jefferson and Robertsville at top there, and then Oak Ridge High School, and then you can see the number of administrators or support staff at some of these other middle schools in our area and the number of students they have. So we feel that with that dean position, it would allow our middle school team to do many more things for our staff, for our students, and we can have that conversation when the board feels it's appropriate. So I'll go back to Pat here a second.
Okay, this slide gives you an overview of the fund balance. If we use just under $1.17 million to balance the budget, it will bring us down to a projected 9.39% of our budgeted expenditures at the end of FY19, which leaves us sufficient funds for operational cash flow. The next slide is an overview of the salary adjustments for all staff the past 10 years. And as you can see, there were 4 years that had no increases, but with a 10-year average, it is 1.46% over those 10 years. And again, this next slide on the use of fund balance. For FY17, our fund balance compared to operating expenditures was 11.22%. We're projecting the FY18 fund balance to be 11.45 at the end of June this year, and with the FY19 proposed budget to be at 9.39%. And we do realize that fund balances are not a permanent solution, but when additional revenue is needed, but it can be used as a tool to deal with short term. And we want to talk a little bit about the projected fund balance and the fluctuations in fund balance. When our June 30th is when our fund balance is measured for a fiscal year. But then as we go forward in the months of May and July, we do not receive BEP funding from the state. And then our property tax revenues are received in the majority of January and March, which leaves us with a cash shortage in October, November, and December. And that's what this next chart will show you. As you can see, this is the past 9 years, the historical general fund balance summary. And as you can see, as we get to October of each year, and it's a little difficult to follow, but the bright pink line is the FY18 fund balances we're tracking now. You can see that it's up just over $10 million, but as we go through October and November, we will be down to $3.5 to $4 million. And our salaries, our payroll for each month averages $4.1 million. So we do get into some cash flow issues as it gets lower each year. The next slide is actually a summary of our projected fund balance for FY19 with the proposed budget and the use of fund balance. And again, you can see as we get to September, October, November, and December, that is just about as low as we can go in order to have the cash flow to operate with the payroll. And then the final slide is on the cash flow projection. You will see the estimated revenues and expenditures each month, and then the red line going across. And the red line going across is the actual cash. As it tracks forward, again, you will see in September, October, and November, the cash flow does go lower.
To close the presentation, I want to take a little bit of time to talk about capital, our projects, and I know the city council, the city manager, the mayor are having the same conversations about capital and infrastructure. But first and foremost, just very excited about the ESG and the updates that we have been able to do here in our community. And some of those projects, I know our board has seen some of those projects. We updated our last meeting, but just well-received and well-needed projects. So very happy about that. We also know that the city and the district have been working on a roofing update. And we recently had a problem here on the left there with our blue tarp on SAB here. But we know that there are studies being done. We know that we're looking and trying to prioritize that roofing, and we're having great partnership with the city and the schools on those recommendations. I wanted to provide, just for educational purposes, a historical investment through CIP for the district. And we know we had some downturns and competing priorities, but I think it's great for everybody to just be able to see where we've been and where it's been at here the last few years. And then I did hand out, and I know I saw Mr. Chin come in, a booklet, the 2017 annual report, the Energy Efficient Schools Initiative, EESI. And I think just as a community, as in partnership, this is just to kind of talk about where we're at with our facilities. So in there, you can see that we're ranked 128 out of 141 school districts, basically, you know, being the 128th least efficient district in the state, which is not where we want to be. We certainly hope the ESG movement is going to make that change that dial and put us in a different direction, but also the fifth highest per student cost out of the 141 school districts. And this is, I hope you can see this, and this might be better as we hand it out, but as you can see at the bottom, this is our, this is from School Dude, and it's used across the country. I know the name seems odd, but it is a nationally used database for maintenance facilities and utilities and things like that. And I think this is telling, because if you look at the blue bars here, that is our value as a district, and the yellow, let's just say we were at the median. The yellow would project the median, and you can see the difference in dollars per student as it goes across this year, last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So to really drive that home, just the yearly savings over the last 3 years, if we were at the median, we would have saved $2 million if we could get our facilities efficient enough to get down to the median in our cost. So I think when you look at, I'll just go back, and again, we know that the city has many competing priorities as well, but I don't think it probably surprises any of us when we look at the investment or the lack thereof that we've been able to do or want to do in city facilities across these years. But we do feel there's room for improvement. There's opportunity for improvement here, and I think if anything, we just want to make sure that that information is out there for consideration. Again, I'll keep using the words competing priorities, because I know the city is also tasked with many priorities that they're trying to navigate as well. But I wanted everybody to have that information. So we're down to next steps. I won't read through all of these, but we had the May 4th meeting last week. We're at May 8th. I know we're going to talk about Tuesday-Monday meeting coming up, Mr. Chairman. And we've got a busy month here of meetings, and we'll see how we work through these. And then and eventually getting to June, which will probably be here like tomorrow, but with all of these different meetings going on. But that is our schedule coming up here for the next several weeks. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back over to you.
Any comments or questions at this time from board members? I'll get to that. Hold that thought. Any comments or questions from anyone in the audience? Could it be this smooth all the way through? I doubt it. I did, didn't I? Yeah, sure. And for the record, if you would.
State my name and address?
Yes.
So Hans Vogel, Oak Ridge City Council, 125 Center Park Lane here in Oak Ridge. Real quick, I heard the comment about the pre-K staffing move to the general fund from the federal grant. Can that be explained a little bit as to where, is the grant going away or is, okay, so we're reallocating grant money to something else?
Dr. Beckendorf thought she wasn't going to speak tonight, but you have made that possible, Mr. Vogel. So Dr. Beckendorf, you want to answer that question?
Okay.
I'll try to explain this briefly, but basically what happened is that a few years ago when the our state federal auditors took a look at our program, they said that, you know, when you take a look at Title I funding, which is indicated for low-income families or students in need, that we were serving our entire preschool, but we were really serving Willowbrook only as far as elementary schools. So there has been a movement of Title I funding in from just the preschool in Willowbrook to the preschool and all of our elementary schools, and we've been transitioning that for the past few years. And so what happens is when you say, okay, well, I'm going to move some Title I funding from the preschool to Woodland, for example, then something that used to be paid for through Title now needs to be picked up by the general fund. So it's just a more equitable distribution of Title I funding. We still have the funding, it's just being used in a little bit of a different way in order to comply with the requirements that were put upon us.
If I could just add to that, correct me if I'm wrong when I add to this, there was a time when Title I funding would have not been necessary in some of our schools. That has changed. That Title I funding is now necessary in most of our elementary schools.
We currently have Title I funding in all four elementary schools. We used to be on what was called targeted assistance for Linden, Woodland, and Glenwood. And now we're school-wide at all four elementary schools.
So because of that and the requirement that we had to shift the money to those schools, it's now created a void that money was covering at the preschool that we've had to pick up in the general fund.
Okay. I'll try to digest that. Then the other one, I just had one question that I want to make sure my numbers were correct from last year. Last year we went in with nominally about a $7 million fund balance that was going, that was the same chart. And by taking the $1.6 million out, all you're doing is lowering that down, so it'll be about 5.4, rough numbers, my Kentucky windage. So, okay, so you're just lowering the threshold, but you're not dipping below the 3% curve at any time. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? I would also recognize Vice Mayor Chen, who came in. Thank you for being here. Mayor Gooch was scheduled to be here, but had a commitment that was a necessary commitment with the city. But he and I have spoken this afternoon with a good conversation. And again, having you all here and having that conversation means a lot. So thank you again. Our schedule has us meeting on Thursday at 5:30 for a work session. Based on conversations with the board members and looking at what's ahead of us after Thursday, Monday night is our particularly big night where we go line by line over our expenditures which presents an opportunity for many questions to be asked as we look at the budget numbers regarding some of the new requests and the elimination of some of the things that have been in previous budgets. Also a time to make comments from the audience as well. The official public hearing is on Wednesday of next week as well. So where I'm leading with that is I do not see a need to meet Thursday unless board members feel that there is a need or superintendent and staff feel like that there is a need. I would encourage board members as you continue to review the budget, if you've heard the superintendent's presentation tonight, if you have questions or concerns, please submit those, contact the superintendent, get those questions to him so we can have maybe additional information that would be helpful to us at our next meeting, as opposed to coming to the meeting, then giving the questions, and then we're just delaying some things that probably we need to discuss at that time.
Well, in light of that, because I was making some notes for Thursday night, so I may have a couple of questions I'll go ahead and toss out now, then. If would that be all right,
sure.
Or is that out of order?
No, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, on the dean recommendation for the two middle schools, is it possible for us to get student-teacher ratios in addition to administrator-student ratios, just so we understand the efficiencies there and understand total overall impact, just for current enrollment?
I'm going to ask Mr. Lay to drill down and make sure we get
okay.
you what you're what
right.
you're asking
so what
for.
What I'm asking is we're proposing increasing our administrators by one at each middle school.
Yes.
So we have a certain analysis that we've been given for student or administrator to student ratio, right, in a comparison across neighboring school districts, which was nice because that was going to be one of my other questions. Can we see similar figures for student to teacher ratios
with surrounding schools
and for us and for surrounding schools based on current enrollment?
Yes. Now,
does that
now,
make sense?
Now, we had an average in the PowerPoint presentation early on, and I'm not sure if you saw that or not, but yes,
okay.
We can make those phone calls. I will tell you, it's difficult just getting the information about the number of administrators in some of our surrounding schools. That's not as simple as one would think, but we can make the phone calls and ask those questions and see if they'll share that information with us.
It would be helpful because I know I hear feedback about top heaviness, and I think if we can understand what our classroom ratios look like, and then in the job description information that you guys have already shared is super helpful, but I think as we think about the way different people in the school building function, understanding those different roles, understanding where our teachers are, understanding where the administrators are, all that total picture is helpful as we answer questions as board members. So that would be helpful if
yes,
we could
we'll,
get it.
We'll start working that in the morning.
And then the other question I have, and at the risk of being uncomfortable, we've come at the, when I came on the board 3.5-4 years ago, there was lots of concern that our fund balance was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. What we have been fortunate to be able to do each year is use our fund balance to as a source of revenue, which we are counseled each year that can't happen because it's not good accounting practice, right? Which by definition means that year on year we have some variability in our forecasting of what's going to end up in fund balance, because one argument would say that if we're forecasting a low fund balance where we don't have room, it makes absolute sense that we wouldn't want to dip into it. What's ended up happening is we've had room to do that. And so I guess what we've said and what we've had to do and been able to do, fortunately, don't necessarily match. So is it possible to get a summary of the drivers year on year of what's allowed us that room? And I guess over the last several, we have had that space. But again, I think our arguments of not wanting to dip into the fund balance weaken every time we do that, because if without understanding of the true variability at the end of the year, and I know some of it is BEP and some of it is tax revenue, but having an itemized understanding of how things have fallen our way would also help us predict what the risk is going forward or how they might not. And I think as for our citizens out there in the community, understanding that and being able to speak to that very fluently would be super helpful, because otherwise it looks like we're sort of Chicken Little, right? So, and I don't ever want us to be perceived as crying wolf where, and I'm mixing metaphors here, forgive me, but I don't want us to be perceived as crying wolf when there isn't, hasn't been an issue in recent years. So it, again, it's not, it would just be helpful.
Other comments or questions? So do I hear a consensus from the board that we do not need to meet Thursday? Yes? Okay. Dr. Borchers, is that staff?
That works for our staff, yeah. We'll be, and again, as you said, Mr. Chairman, the more questions we can get up front, I think the more productive will be Monday. So please send any and all questions to me, and we'll work on it all week.
All right. Hearing no other comments, we stand adjourned.